J1.
Number 2B.
Now, that's all good to know, that that it's the creative intelligence that brings forth information, but that doesn't do much. We just are left with an information universe. So we want to know what information is. Again, we say it information. Well, what are you, information? What are you? What do you do? So the only way we can find out what divine information is to take it through its sevenfold reflection. Now, just following that vertical column there, and I also have on one of the pages taken this subject, where you start now showing how this infinite reflection begins to work. And we'll just take divine information, which is a quality of mind, the first column, and we will multiply it, or we will reflect it or blend it with its other sevenfold terms. And let's see if we can find out what information is by doing that. So we can therefore say that divine information, as we will always know then, is an idea of mind. Divine information, therefore, has power. It's reflecting mind. Divine information has power. Then you can say that divine information brings order, because it reflects spirit. The idea is a spirit. Then you can say, well, divine information brings freedom and joy, because it reflects the ideas of soul. Or you can say that divine information obeys scientific laws and brings harmonious government, because it reflects principle. And how wonderful it is to know that the information that is being pumped out into the universe in a divine sort of way, divine information, is going to obey scientific laws, and that information is going to bring harmonious self-government principle. And just think that divine information is ever-present, and divine information is always multiplying because it reflects the ideas of life. It must be ever-present. Information must be ever-present. That mind must be ever-present. It must always multiply and move because it reflects the ideas of life, you see. And that divine information exists only in divine consciousness because it reflects truth. Therefore, that divine information, true information, is going to be found when we look out from a divine consciousness, truth. Or that divine information always operates according to a universal plan because it reflects the ideas of love. Now, how wonderful. Right here, we get a full sense of information in its, because it's, we've taken it, therefore, through its sevenfold. It's much better than just saying there's information. Now we know what information does and what it is. And it's wonderful there just to see that divine information operates according to a universal plan. Just think that information has a plan. It comes forth into being. We're already operating according to a plan. That is showing how we can take and just one idea and take it through its sevenfold reflection. There's also, as we turn the page, we'll begin to see another illustration which wants to point up the same fact, and it wants to bring out the fact that this reflection, that these rays of infinite truth, when gathered into the focus of ideas, when gathered into the blending of ideas, bring light instantaneously, brings understanding instantaneously. And we saw that with divine information, because we took it through its sevenfold reflection, we began to understand more and more what information actually was and what information means. So here we see that, just in a simple diagram, we see how mind can reflect spirit, how mind then can reflect soul, how mind can reflect the ideas of principle, how mind can reflect life, how mind can reflect truth, and how mind can reflect love. And then again, we can see spirit, and how spirit reflects mind, and spirit reflects soul, and spirit reflects principle, and spirit reflects life, and spirit reflects truth, and spirit reflects love. And you see how we can go on. Then soul reflects mind, and the ideas of soul reflect the ideas of spirit, and the ideas of soul reflect the ideas of soul, and the ideas of soul reflect the ideas of principle, and the ideas of soul reflect the ideas of life, and the ideas of soul reflect the ideas of truth, and the ideas of soul reflect the ideas of love. This always shows that an idea of whatever we have always must show forth its sevenfold reflection. Then you get the full feeling of what that idea is. And on the last page there, on that next page of your illustration material, you see the full intensity of reflection. You can see that hear instantaneous light, when all those seven synonymous terms are blending together in full blending, it just is a powerhouse there, and it's bringing instantaneous light or instantaneous understanding. Now, to go back again to our prism and to our illustration, we'll go on with Mrs. Eddy's method of analysis. Now, to go on with her method of analysis, Mrs. Eddy shows, therefore, that the moment we go outside of that beautiful, intense focal point of ideas, the moment we go outside of that focus of ideas where we're just in the realm of the divine consciousness, the divine mind, and we're constantly looking out from pure ideas, the moment we go outside that focal distance, we are entertaining illusions. And it's at that point we drop into the human system of reference, and this just brings only the illusions of, let's say, sin, disease, and death. Therefore, Mrs. Eddy states, delusion, sin, disease, and death arise from the false testimony of material sense, which, from a supposed standpoint outside the focal distance of infinite spirit, presents an inverted image of mind and substance with everything turned upside down. So here we see Mrs. Eddy's methodology. Her methodology is to always go out from perfection, to always go out from the divine system of reference. Let that divine system of reference tell us what reality is. And therefore, we let go of the human system of reference. We let it go because outside of any of that focal distance, outside of that divine system of reference, we just encounter the illusions or the human system of reference. So her methodology in science, in living, is to always go out from perfection. And one just knows how difficult this is. I mean, gee, you wake up in the morning, and I keep saying that, but you wake up and there's a choice of saying, aha, I'm absolutely going to go out from what I know is reality. I'm going out from my inner certainty of what reality is. I'm going to go out from what those seven synonymous terms tell me that reality is. That it tells me that in reality there is just mind. And mind is the basis of the universe. And mind is the power that forms the image. And that image that I see is an idea in mind. Therefore, the real substance of reality, that real image, the real substance of it is idea. And soul says that that identity, your identity, therefore, is that mind, because mind is the basis of the universe, and it has the power to form the image that we see, that actually subject and object is one, that mind and its idea or image is one. And therefore we see, therefore, that because mind and its idea or image, which we call spirit, we give the image the super symbol of spirit, because mind, which is the basis of the universe, just to think that mind is the basis of the universe, and mind alone is the power that forms this image that we see. That is so fundamental what mind is saying, that mind is the basis of the universe and it is a power that is forming the image, and that that image is just an idea in mind. So the real substance isn't matter, it's idea. And soul says, therefore, that subject and object is one, therefore that mind and its idea and its object is one. And that that idea is governed by a principle, by a science, and that idea, therefore, experiences life. It experiences truth, and it experiences love. But these synonymous terms will become warm to us and grow with us, and we can wake up in the morning and we can flow with what reality is according to those seven basic elements. This is something that becomes very natural and beautiful. That's going out from perfection. It's going out and saying, okay, I'll let that divine system of reference tell me what reality is, and I'll hold to it. And everything that comes along during the day is coming along just as suggestion, just coming along to say, aha, maybe what you were thinking isn't quite right, you know, maybe there's actually a material universe. But in reality, we know and we hold to the fact of what that divine system of reference tells us. Because we know that that divine system of reference is talking about reality, and that the human mind, because it's only seeing that reality in a limited way, is going to start talking and showing you a bunch of distorted pictures. But we know that that is just seeing reality in a limited way. And to most people who are responding in a limited way to being, they'll come up and say, well, what you're saying isn't reality. Reality is this way. To them, it is that way because they're looking out maybe from the mortal mind or they're looking out from the human mind. But when we're looking out from reality, we see a different view of being. Therefore, we can wake up and we can go out from perfection and hold to that perfection. And this is Mrs. Eddy's methodology anyhow. She says that he, God, can see nothing outside of his own focal distance. We must hold on to what we know is perfection. And this is what this divine system of reference and what those seven synonymous terms are telling us, and they are, well, we'll go on with that next week. What I feel, therefore, we should see now in just summing things up for this evening, we just want to see something that we have done this evening, which has been very simple. And what we have done is we have made a complete circle. And we've made a complete circle according to the scientific method of analysis as presented in the Bible and the scientific method of analysis as presented by Mary Baker Eddy. What we have done is we started with what is God. We started with the one infinite God. We started with this term, God. We started with this great big whole. And what we began to see is that that term could not be just left alone because we say, okay, what is God? So therefore, what we did is that this nature of God was then analyzed into its seven basic, sevenfold nature, into seven basic elements. This one God, through the prism, was divided into its sevenfold, seven basic elements. We then saw that these seven basic elements were characterized by definite ideas, that there were definite shades to each of these seven basic elements. There were definite ideas which distinguish one element from the next. And we began to see that these definite ideas follow an order, and that they follow a definite order in the relationship of mind to spirit to soul to principle to life, truth, and love. So here we have the one God in its sevenfold nature with its different ideas which characterize each of those seven synonymous terms. Now that is the process of analyzing. That's analysis. That's analyzing the one into a sevenfold nature. We've also gone through the process of synthesis. And what we have done is then, by an inverse process of synthesis, we've taken that one being which we analyzed into a sevenfold nature. We have then, through an inverse process of synthesis, taken sevenfold nature and again brought them together, those sevenfold ideas, and blended them and reflected them into an infinite reflection, into an infinite blending and an infinite functioning together. And do you see what we did is we brought it all back to oneness again and to the one God. Through the process of analysis, we went into the seven. Through the inverse process of synthesis, we brought it back into the oneness again. But now at this point of oneness, where we're at the oneness, the focal point of oneness, we are now not anymore at the belief in a one God or a belief in oneness, but through science, we have taken the science and the system of science to define that one God. So now that we scientifically understand what that one God is, and we feel we now have a divinely objective statement, a divinely objective fact of what God is, which is totally free of our subjective belief. Yet we have stayed within the rhythm of oneness, and we still are in the belief and the knowledge now, our understanding that there is just one God.